But I do think. Hold on, what did you just say?
I had a thought there.
Juice's Cigar Palace.
Juice's Cigar Palace.
Expectations.
He has bought cigars from that dude.
He has bought cigars from them. This is true.
I'm waking up. I feel it in my bones. Don't make my system blow. Welcome to the new age. To the new age. Welcome to the new age. To the new age.
Three Dogs North is an attempt to objectify the subjective with little violence as possible. The following has been torn from its origins in space and time and put entirely at your disposal.
Oh, Connor, we did have this thought when we were at the cigar shop today, though. What do you think of this? What if we started, like, you know, in... It could be wherever, Chicago, Springfield, Atlanta. Like, if you took in a city... You know, preferably like in a business district or whatever, but you opened a cigar shop. Maybe you had like a little coffee shop in it or something like that. Mm-hmm.
For the ladies.
Right. but what if you opened it for, and it had to be like gentleman conduct in there?
Mm.
And so they, because today, like, we sat there for a few hours today and read, you know, smoked a stogie. It was awesome.
I think I know what you're going to say.
But it was just like, there's these dudes in there, and it was like, F-bomb this, F-bomb that.
Like,
and
let's watch pro wrestling kind of thing.
Well, luckily the Olympics.
You're stuck on that pro wrestling.
No, but I've gone into cigar shops where they're watching pro wrestling, and you're like, this is not what I'm looking for.
Right. So this place is like...
I don't want to hang out in a gas station with some jabrones.
straight up jabrones.
I came in here to sit in nice leather chairs and smoke a cigarette like a gentleman.
Right.
Cigarette, so, cigar. Both at the same time, like a gentleman.
But this place definitely has this ambiance of like leather chairs and like the, you know, the wooden walls and this awesome room.
The barber chairs?
Old barber chairs, mm-hmm. Like old straight razor shave mm-hmm. chairs, you know, you can lean back in. They're awesome. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it'd be great, like, just to go to this place, you know, have a cigar with some friends and be able to engage in some type of worthwhile conversation.
Yeah.
You know, about whatever. It can be about real life stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully it's stuff that, like, you care about and are passionate about. And it's not just you, you know, complaining about so-and-so at work or
yeah.
the man bringing you down.
Right.
And it's just, and it turns into this, like, just incredibly vulgar, mm-hmm. like, oh, we're just guys together so we can talk like this.
Father Norris had some story about, I think it was... either St. Ambrose or St. Augustine, like, that in their residence, they would often entertain, you know, their priests or something, or, you know,
yeah.
people that, and they had something written in Latin around the whole wall that said, like, you know, a brother shall not speak ill of another brother in this place, or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was just understood in the bishop's residence that nothing negative was to be said about another person.
Yeah.
I was struck a lot by something my internship pastor said about his mother. That he's telling some story where she complained a little, like, obliquely about his pastor. Like,
mm-hmm.
not his pastor, but the pastor of the parish where his mother lived. This
yeah.
is in a different state. But he said to me something like, and I know it must be serious because she would never say anything bad about anyone. Especially not a priest.
Yeah.
So it was just something like, it added so much more weight to what she said that
right.
that even like she would say, yeah, he's okay, you know.
Yeah.
Rather than like, oh, he's great, you
right.
know, father's great.
Right.
Which would be the norm, like
yeah.
for a mediocre guy. We think we have to get stuff out sometimes, I think, just to vent, which is true. Sometimes if you're just really like somebody's grinding your gears, you just gotta let it out. But
yeah.
I'd say in the seminary especially, it's one of those things where you're just in this fishbowl all the time looking at each other, and you're bound to just get really ticked.
Yeah.
Every once in a while.
Yeah, super annoyed.
Yeah.
Ticked, whatever.
And it's like when I was fighting fires, this buzzword out there was crew cohesion. Because we'd be out for like 14 days on a fire, sleeping in the woods together, in our tents, hanging out by the fire, working all day. Like, you just saw the same 12 guys for 2 weeks, 24 hours, you know, except when you were sleeping. And if one dude was negative, would like complain about the hike or the work or something, like the weather, just start complaining. Like, he thinks he's doing himself a favor by venting, but it brought everybody down.
Yeah.
And then everybody starts sniping at each other, you know, like taking digs, like, well, if you just worked a little harder, you know, passive aggressive stuff. And so it's like bad leaven in a way, you know? So it would be tough. I'd be interested in how, like, you'd enforce something at a cigar shop where it would be open, like in a free market society, you kind of have to let anybody in buy your cigars. But
right.
It'd almost be like an honor system. That stuff works better. Like,
yeah.
And calling people to something higher, that always works better than, like, scolding people for doing something wrong. Be like, you're better than that. Like, patrons of this cigar shop are not pro wrestling watching dudes that could talk about girls and their bodies, you know.
Yeah.
We do higher things here.
Yeah.
And that's why it's cool to shop here.
But I think men are hungry for something like that. Like, I think you would, you know, it might attract, like, a certain crowd, certainly for a while, but I think guys are really looking for, people in general are looking for that. Like, when you can clearly make that call, even in something like a cigar shop, like, that crap doesn't happen here.
Yeah.
I think it's attractive, and I think it can honestly be successful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that the best way to do something like that is, like what you said, the higher calling, not just scolding. You know, have that positive reinforcement, not necessarily just the negative. But it's best when it's run as a democracy. So, like, we regulate ourselves.
Yeah.
And when you have that, that's when you're going to have the most flourishing in conversation. You're going to have the best time to be had, because it's not like this is the confines of the rules and we must operate within this. And it's like some suffocating.
And then people are like looking like, am I allowed to say this in
here?
Right. But that's true.
And I do think that in the classical sense, that's the most gentlemanly way. That's the most chivalrous way, if you could say that, to regulate that. Because it's not, if you're a man, you're going to keep that. If you're a real man, then you're not going to. This dude today, it was literally like a 1-to-5 ratio of F-bombs. Mm. It was like, how can you speak like that in the real world? What do you do when you go to a gas station?
Yeah, there's strangers around.
To a lady.
Right.
Yeah. And it is, I mean, you know, it's a dude's hangout. So, you know, it is understandable. Like, your language is going to change, and you're going to speak differently with the people that you're around.
Mm-hmm.
But that is just absurd. So I
oh, and that guy's totally working to the expectations of the place, too. Like, he's saying, he's probably thinking in his mind, come on, for God's sake, this is a cigar shop. These guys should be able to handle a couple F-bombs. You know? Right. But if it's like Juice's Cigar Palace, he's like, he'd be thinking in the back of his mind, he'd be like, this is Juice's Cigar Palace. This stuff doesn't fly here, bro. You know,
because
he's working with his whole narrative of, like, what a cigar shop is.
Right.
You'd have to paint a whole new picture.
Well, and he works there. He was one of the.
Oh, I've totally bought cigars from that dude. Yeah, that guy was like,
sweet.
I go in there to buy like a ammo case full of cigars for a bonfire we're gonna have on Franciscan Point, and I'm just like, I want cigars that I can give away to people.
Yeah.
That are, you know, not terrible. And he was like, F, no, yeah, these ones are F.
Did he have a little beard?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
he's like my age.
That's him. Mm-hmm. No, but see, what's actually probably happening, and it may not still be, but probably at the root of it, is in his thought process, it's, I'm speaking this way because this is also what other people want to hear. Is if I speak this way, then I'm going to receive some sort of affirmation in my manliness.
Oh, man, that cigar place was so chill. The guy said the F word.
He said it like 200 times today.
Dude, that place is chill as heck.
I cannot wait to get back there and just hear some more bombs. It's going to be amazing. No, but and so in that sense, you have the freedom, if you're able to use freedom properly, which is the whole narrative of human life. We have this gift of free will. How are we going to use it? If you go to the cigar shop, the one that should be run in a genuinely, truly manly fashion, you have the freedom to speak openly and not trying to win other people's affirmation, not trying to sort of live up to some sort of expectation of what it's like to speak like a guy or have dude mm-hmm. talk or something like that. It's like setting that higher expectation, like you said. Mm-hmm. We're not striving for that. We're striving to, if we're going to quote Deacon Adam today, you know, we're striving for perfection in a mm-hmm. sense. And that means that we don't talk bad about our buddies and we don't use F-bombs.
Or the thing that drives me nuts, dude. I remember this, the most sickening event that typifies this like behavior to me was at a gym locker room in college at the rec center. And that's like the dude environment, I feel like, more than anything. Like, you just got finished like getting a sick pump in your arms. And now you're sitting changing in the locker room and you can just let loose with what is really inside. And this dude was talking about whatever, his conquest at the bar, in the most vile ways, like in these metaphors, like sales, like, oh dude, I totally closed that. Did you see that? Like, freaking
be
like, I closed.
Yeah.
And this conversation was going on for as long as I could hurriedly change and leave and get out of there. But it was like, wow, dude, that dude thinks of women as objects,
yeah.
as purely non-human things.
Yeah.
And he feels free to expose that part of his heart right here to that guy and to anyone else who happens to be listening.
Yeah.
He had no idea that, you know, I was a Daily Mass going, you know, college kid, because he probably couldn't imagine mm-hmm. that there'd be such a thing. Like, if you're getting a huge pump in your arms, then you're trying to close with some bees, you know, in his mind.
Right.
That's why else would you be doing that?
But you can see the totally other world that exists that hopefully we live in compared to humanity, which is, I think, the idea of a cigar shop or having a place where people can get together and discuss in some sort of reasonable manner. You can just see, like, today, the world that we live in, based off of our experiences, comparatively speaking to what we had at the cigar shop today, like, that guy has a completely different worldview. And not to harp on this guy and
right,
sort of sure. tear him down, but he has a completely worldview than what we have.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're going to come full circle here to what we talked about earlier, is what has he received? What does the world tell him mm-hmm. is super cool? What does the world tell him if he says this enough, then he's going to be a really cool guy?
Mm-hmm.
Dogs go to heaven. Goats go to hell.
Okay, so everything in our personality is externalized right now. Like with Facebook, Instagram,
yeah.
everything is like, I went on a trip, better tweet it, you know?
Yeah.
You wouldn't just go camping. You'd take a picture and like, hopefully you're in cell coverage so you can post that on Instagram or something like, right. oh, caught this huge fish. And so, but what that means is that like, you're always thinking, when you're doing anything or interacting in any way, you're thinking like, how could this become objectified in such a way that it could be communicated to anybody, you know,
mm-hmm.
like in an open forum, basically. And so you're forming this identity that's not really you.
Yeah.
You know, and when you see a guy like that, or like the guy that I saw in the gym, like those guys are a dime a dozen. Well, they think they're doing what they want. They're doing exactly what everybody else is doing.
Right.
And what is expected, like your point, Mike, what is expected of them.
Yeah.
College is the best 4 years of your life, dude. The chicks are hot. They're easy. You can, there's no parents, dude. Yeah. Just get hammered. Like,
freedom!
This is freedom, dude.
Yeah.
Freedom. But you're using it the exact same way everybody. So your personality is completely like assembly line.
Yeah.
And so the paradox of it is that like, surrendering your freedom to Christ, which is what we've done, or you know what we're striving to do, makes you more yourself, more like a strong personality, like whoever you are.
Yep.
Even if you're a nerd or kind of awkward or whatever, like you're still more you. The guys here are more themselves than the guys that you'd run into in the gym in college.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And we're not perfect, But I think that a lot militates against having a personality in our culture
yeah.
because of that. And so one real power of the gospel is that it gives people an identity.
Yeah.
And I remember like telling people that I was going to be a priest. They thought like my sister asked, are you still going to be able to play the guitar? Like and it right. wasn't her fault for thinking that. Yeah. Like, she just, maybe she was fed, like, being Christian or trying to follow God makes you into this version of yeah. some external right. assembly line personality.
Yeah.
Whereas Christ, I had encountered Christ in a way that I was sure that my life would be completely useless or meaningless without him. Like, now that I've known you, Lord, nothing else matters. Like, even if I can't live this way yet, I know that I got to go in that direction.
Yeah.
You know? And it's made me more myself, you know?
And it gives meaning to everything. Like, every little sacrifice and suffering that you yeah. go through. Like, if you can have it pointed towards that goal of Christ, like, there's the meaning in life that so many people are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But what we were talking about earlier with these dudes that we were kind of harping on is that, you know, I think we always have to ask ourselves too, like, what did I do to reach out to them?
Yeah.
So, like, today it wasn't, I don't know, today wasn't that big of an issue because he wasn't, like, from what I overheard anyway, like, he was cussing like a sailor. But he wasn't saying anything, like, super vulgar yeah. either. Like, okay. But I remember when I was in Nebraska, we'd gone out to eat for one of the other missionaries on the team, his birthday. So we'd gone out to eat, and then he was going to the late mass at the Newman Center. So I was driving home, and there was three of the girls on the team. And so we were driving with the duplex, and so driving home, and there was this little, like, podunk bar in nowhere, Nebraska, that we went to sometimes just to like, get off campus. And one of the girls was like, oh, let's go have, like, one beer at the Ding is what it was called. And so we get there, and so it's me and these, you know, three other female-focused missionaries. So we get a table. There's, like, five other people in this bar. And this dude that's huge is at the end of the bar, and he's there with, like, his buddies and probably his girlfriend. And so he is pretty drunk at this point, and he starts talking about just, like, I don't know, it was very vulgar, having sex with his girlfriend very loudly, so, like, the mm-hmm. whole bar could hear, like, thought he was making a big, like, cool scene, right? Mm-hmm. And so it like, started to get really awkward, especially with the girls.
Mm-hmm.
So I look over at this guy, and I just holler, I was like, hey, man, like, knock it off with, you know, with the girls here. And so, thinking, that's what I said in my mind. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was much more like, excuse me, sir.
if you don't mind.
I mean, if it's okay with you. But in my mind, I was like, hey, stop. And, so anyway, this guy, he starts walking over to the table, and I'm like, literally going through my mind, I'm like, this is gonna get ugly. So I'm like looking at stuff that I can like throw at this guy to try to like, you know, get the girls out.
Neutralize
of the bar.
Him.
Yeah. And because he's probably like, I don't know, much bigger than I am.
Mm-hmm.
So he sits down, and at this point, like, I realized pretty quick he was just like wanted to talk, and he came over like just thinking he was gonna like act real cool in front of the ladies and mm-hmm. whatever. So he asked us what we did, and we were like, well, we work as Catholic missionaries at the Newman Center at the university. And immediately, like, his whole face changed. And he, long story short, he goes into like his whole story of like how his life just like hasn't turned out how he thought it would, and like he thought it was karma from a bunch of the bad crap he did in college. And so I got to try to explain to him, it's like, well, as Catholics, he's a Catholic guy, it's like, we don't believe in karma, you know, like, you can just get rid of that thought, like, God wants to love you right now just as you are. So I told him that I at that point I was signed up to go to seminary the next year, and I told him that, and like, this guy, I think he was 30, and he just starts bawling, crying at our table, like, loses it.
Whoa.
Crying. And like, starts talking about how much he like wants God back in his life, and like, he's sorry for all this stuff he did. Like, he just thinks that like, we're such heroes for like doing this, and like, how awesome it is, and I'm gonna go try to be a priest. And so anyway, we ended up saying a prayer, with him at the end, that he would just, you know, in a sense, like, open up his heart to God's love, that, like, God wanted to love him right there, like, in all of the sinfulness around his life and, like, all of the disappointments that he's had, is that that's exactly where God's going to meet you. And so he gave me his phone number, and we were going to try to meet up, you know, after that, and he kind of, you know, bailed after that, just avoided ever meeting up again or whatever. But still, in that moment, you know, it was a huge moment of grace, certainly for all of us, but I think for that guy. And all it started with was literally, like, I didn't want him talking like that mm-hmm. around my friends.
Yeah.
And so it's like, yeah, could he have beaten my ass? Probably.
But he didn't.
Totally worth it. You know, it's like, even if he would have, look, it would have been mm-hmm. worth it to say something to this dude.
Totally.
And it worked out that God used, like, just that little moment of, like, impromptu courage that I had to, like, turn it into something great. So
that never it would have occurred if you were just trying to be like what everyone else was being.
Exactly.
You know? That only lives with a unique life. That's the only way that will occur.
Yeah. Or even like, had I been what most people think, like, a Christian guy should be.
Right.
Like, oh, we just need to be super friendly, and, like, it's okay. You know? Right. It's okay, buddy. Just keep being an idiot, and as long as there's no confrontation.
Three Dogs North are Juice, Seabisc, and Michael Metz. Conversations have been edited to sound smarter. Audio and transcripts of this episode are exclusive property of Mundelein Seminary and may not be rebroadcast without the express written consent of Major League Baseball. Down.